Imagine the orange glow of a sunset over the ocean. Or the look on your daughter's face when she met her new baby brother. Now imagine what these moments would be like if you couldn't see them. Our sight is a gift, one that serious eye diseases could compromise. But yearly exams from an eye doctor can detect them before it's too late. Find an eye doctor today at thinkaboutyoureyes.com. Sponsored by the American Optometric Association.
G'day, dear listeners. We have a special offer for you. You're about to hear from Jason Andrews, the author of Stark Naked Numbers. It's a brilliant book, and we've got some free copies for you. If you want to enter the draw to win one of five copies of Stark Naked Numbers by Jason Andrew, head to www.sbo.financial/FTT.
From the trenches.
I'm joined here for my first interview of 2019 with a man who listeners will not be a stranger to, Jace Andrews from SBO now. You've had a rebrand. We'll talk about that in a moment. Jace, thanks for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, David.
Now, there's a ton of background noise because we need to explain where we are because we're in Brisbane. I'm up in Brisbane for summer, so I'll use the opportunity to catch up. And we have come to what I think is the most spectacular cafe in Brisbane. We are at the pointy end of Kangaroo Point, at a cafe overlooking the beautiful Brisbane skyline, the beautiful Brisbane River. It is remarkably pretty up here.
It's a glorious day, and it's good you're taking advantage of the weather, Dave. So,
if anyone's coming up for ZeroCon, it's not that far from here. If you're an exercise junkie, get down, do the walk, end up at the cafe here. I love this part of Australia. It's beautiful. Mate, you're coming on the show. You've been on the show a few times. We talk about you a bit because we love your content. You've written a book.
I have. It's been my labour of love for the last 18 to 24 months. And, we're excited to be launching now, actually.
It's called Stark Naked Numbers. What's it about?
Accounting, of all things. Yeah, I know. I can see the big grin on your face. Accounting. And I get that reaction a lot, actually. People are like, dude, you could write about anything, but you wrote a book about accounting? Why?
Accounting is boring. Like, it's really boring. I know. I've lived it my whole life. I've tried to make it a bit more exciting through the show and a few other bits and pieces. I've read the book, I've had a flick through it, so no, I haven't read it. If you said, have you read it? No. But I've had a decent enough flick through to know what's going on. You have found a voice and a style to make it a bit more interesting. What was the process to do that? Because I think we all struggle with it.
Here's the thing, right? So if you go to your local Dimmicks or your Borders bookshop and you make a beeline to the business section, as I do, I love to read business books. So if you want to learn about marketing your business, of course, there are a bazillion best-selling books by Seth Godin and many others. If you want to learn about leadership, there's, of course, a few books by Simon Sinek or other known thought leaders in leadership. But if you want to learn a book about accounting and finance, where would you go? And I was literally stumbled. All I could find were the Four Dummies Guides, which are written for how to use the Xero software or QuickBooks Online software. Or, of course, the antiquated university textbooks, which are written for first-year accounting students, right? And I asked myself, well, why isn't there a best-selling book on accounting? And I quickly figured out the reason why is because accounting is so friggin' boring. I mean, no one intentionally reads a book on accounting because it's just dry. It's full of antiquated concepts like EBITDA, ROCE, FCF, all these acronyms that, you know, talking heads on Bloomberg love to yell at you and say you should look at gross margins all the time. But what does that actually mean, and how does that resonate for the business owner? So what I realized, if I had to write a book on accounting to achieve my mission of really improving the financial literacy of founders, I had to write with empathy, to write it from the lens of a business owner and actually view accounting from how they see it. Now, throughout the book, I toy with the worldview, which is of accountants, which are, you know, the grandfather, the dude in the tweed suit, the glasses, the green visor. I'm sure you know a few of those, Dave.
Absolutely. And if you're one of them listening, we mean no disrespect. But I'm wearing thongs and shorts right now. You're wearing a T-shirt that says, "It's a cruel world." Get it? A cruel. So we're fighting that. We're doing our bit to fight that.
Exactly. And so what I really wrote this book for was to try to change the ultimate worldview of accounting. So when I tell people I'm an accountant, usually it's an Uber driver or the barbecue, the response is, oh man, I haven't lodged my tax return in 3 years. Could you help me with it? I'll buy your case a beer. I said to them, well, dude, I haven't lodged my own tax return in 5 years.
They never say, I'll give you some cash, is it? It's always, I'll give you a case of beer. Actually, mate, I need a bit of cash.
Exactly. It's either a case of beer or a meat tray, like similar to your raffle, right? And it's funny because the current worldview of small business accountants is your tax guy. And that's totally fine because most small business accountants do tax return. That's what they specialise in. The opportunity, where I see the real opportunity in the market, the gap in the market, is there's all this fascinating, what I find interesting stuff in between, which is what big businesses employ CFOs and finance teams for, is to what the hell are the numbers saying and how do we use that to drive strategic decisions, right? And so if you spoke about cash flow and profit margins or product mix with most small businesses, they would have no idea what you're saying, right? Because when they think accountant, they think making sure my assets are protected and I'm paying not too much tax, right? And so what the part of the reason I'm writing this book is to try to change the narrative of what accounting is to business owners and hopefully help them on a journey to improve their financial literacy and run a more effective business.
I've done an interview with Janine Ellis from Boost Juice for my other show, The David Boyer Show, which is coming out later this year. And Janine said to me that's all accountants should do. They should just worry about asset protection and they should just worry about saving me on the tax. Is there a gap between what clients expect and what accountants do? And does your book help bridge that gap?
Here's the thing. So accountants are known as dream killers. I know in your circle of friends, whether people are crushed dreams, we're pessimists. I actually prefer the term realists because if you work with a lot of our clients are entrepreneurs, they're the digital growth, the high growth, the scale.
I mean, your website, that's the banner. We crush your entrepreneurial spirit.
Exactly.
Give us money.
The reality is accountants are the perfect partner to entrepreneurs because we balance that ambition and the vision with facts and data. And numbers don't lie. Yes, they tell a story and you can manipulate that story, as we know, with financial engineering like Enron. But fundamentally, cash flow is cash flow, right? And if we can talk to the reality and at least prime our clients and prime business owners to help them balance that risk and understand how their strategy translates to the numbers, which is ultimately how business is valued, I think we're all better off.
Let's talk about this idea that accounting is boring, because I feel like we lost the battle because business is boring. Like, you talk to... my mates are all sports nuts, and a lot of them are in sports media, and they think what I talk about is the most, like, dizzyingly disgraceful, boring nonsense they can ever come across. But somehow Simon Sinek's interesting when he talks about leadership. Seth Godin's interesting when he talks about marketing. We're the guys who realise the cash, which is the whole purpose of being in business, and we lost out to these guys on what was the interesting part of business.
So to me, if you look at the Simon Sinek's of the world or the Seth Godin's of the world, they talk about abstract concepts, right? Which we think are marketing. You can be creative with marketing. You can be creative with leadership because there's no binary facts, right? It's all, it's all theory. But what they do effectively is tie that theory to real life case studies and they intertwine story into the messaging that they're delivering, right? So if you read anything by Seth, it's a book. It's a non-fiction creative book, right? And so...
Actually, Seth's the reason I didn't get through your book over summer. I read This Is Marketing 1.5 times. That's the premium I've got on him over your stuff.
Oh, and Seth's a legend. And I'm a Seth Godin fanboy. I've bought all his products. I've got almost all his books. I've done the Alt-MBA. I'm probably one of his gold star customers. If you could do a custom ranking analysis, I'd probably be at the top somewhere.
Number one sucker.
Yeah. But what are these marketing gurus do so well is they tell a story, right? And I think storytelling is hot. Everyone's talking about, how being able to deliver stories and tell stories. I think if we can work on the craft of being able to intertwine hard data and intertwine it with story, I think that's how we can ultimately get a message of making accounting interesting, because accounting is interesting, right? As much as, we're obviously biased, but if we can communicate in a way that makes it engaging and makes it resonate and even toy with the current worldview or the current narrative of what accounting is to small business owners, I think I have a real shot of changing that whole idea of what we do.
I think your book's going to receive two ways by accountants. A bunch of accountants can look at it and say, okay, here is a bit of an example, not a pathway, not a roadmap, but here's an example of how to practically do this soft skill stuff everybody's talking about. And then there's the group that I think is going to be the overwhelming majority that's going to look at this and say, nah, but that's just, like, he's just talking about profit. got 100 pages, it's just profit. No, this is crap. This is nonsense. Did you kind of intend, and it hasn't happened yet because the book's not out, or it's just out, we don't have enough feedback yet, but did you think that accountants would be an audience for this? Because both Paul and I think it will be, and I think listeners of the show should get involved in this book, because I do think it will help you get a vision of the way things could be.
So there's two parts to this question. The first one is, who do I write this for? And it's not accountants, I can tell that much. The second point is, will people be offended? If accountants read this, will they be offended? My answer is, the first one is, I wrote this for the founders and business owners, right? So I wrote it for them because I'm trying to help them ultimately. But what I've found is all the pre-orders that I've sold, 90% of the pre-orders have been from accountants, which is, I find, very fascinating. Because, you know, if I look at the psychographics of these accountants, a lot of them are sole practitioners, a lot of them are trying to improve, a lot of them want to do more advisory work, is the, you know, the buzzword that's happening at the moment. And they're interested to see, well, how is this written differently to the P&Ls that I've been churning out for my clients. So that's the first point. So it's not written for accountants, but I think accountants can learn from it. The second point is, will people be offended by it? There will be a certain... I do bag out the old traditional tax CPA, and I do that to toy with the current worldview of what your Bob the CPA looks like for most small business accountants. And there will be a small portion of people that might be offended by it. But hey, there's a reason why there's 0 stars and 5 stars for every book on Amazon, because if it's 0 stars, it's probably not written for that person. So I'm okay with it.
If you are offended by Jace's book, get in touch.
I'd love your feedback. Seriously, I'd love feedback. And the harsher the better, to be honest, because, I love to learn.
The one thing really interesting about this is you run a... I'm going to call it a bookkeeping firm just so people can see what bucket it goes into, but it's not really bookkeeping. You've managed to run a firm that's growing really well. You're bigger than most bookkeepers who are mostly standalone. You've got the odd business here and there. You've not only running your firm does advisory. Most people say, well, I don't have time to do advisory. Your firm does advisory and you found time to write a book. So how?
I actually talk about my own journey throughout the book, because I wrote this book from the lens of being a business owner myself. So reflecting to when I was in, as a tax accountant and corporate advisory, I realised that a lot of advice or strategic advice that we gave to our clients who were probably later stages than myself as a business owner, but a lot of it was the jargon spat out of boardrooms, talking about strategy and very conceptual, abstract material. But when it came down to execution, we'd always rely on the founder themselves to obviously implement what we were saying, and never really got our hands dirty ourselves, because hey, we're the advisors, we're there to run your business for it.
Hey, what do you reckon the most abstract, sort of nonsensey type traditional finance term is?
Balanced scorecard is one that gets thrown around a lot by strategy consultants, and particular ones from a financial perspective. It's like, oh, we need to measure everything about your business. Let's look at your KPIs and your data. And to be honest, we're guilty of that as well, because we're a data-informed business. It's when you don't convert that strategy to execution is where things just...
My biggest nonsensey one is discount rate.
Oh, yes.
Because we just make that up.
What, 20%, 25%?
What do you want it to be worth? $10 million? All right, here's the discount rate.
And that's the thing. Discount rates are so theoretical and subjective. Yeah. And that's why most people say, we'll just use multiples instead. So a lot of the lessons I've learned and through the advice I put in, it's not just accounting. There's kind of overarching business advice throughout the book. So a lot of it is, the first principle in the book is about making yourself redundant from the business, right? So from the business valuation perspective, we know the key man risk is an inherent risk detractor from looking at how a business is valued. And so the first financial principle I talk about is removing yourself as a bottleneck from your own business. And you know, over 3 years, I'm hand on heart proud to say that 80% of my time of running a business is on the business. I don't do accounting, you know, I have some client relationships, but mostly...
Do you want to explain to you what a debit is? It's on the left.
Yeah, it's like an expense or an asset. I can't remember which one. But a lot of the time I do is business development or working on and projects that genuinely give me fulfillment. And the writing book was part of that project. So I dedicated a good 20 to 30 hours a week for the last 18 months writing this thing. So it hasn't been easy.
How'd your business partner feel about it?
I didn't ask permission. And that's the great thing about working with someone who's like-minded is we have... you know, different areas that we want to focus on, and we complement each other. We're both accountants, but we complement each other in different ways. So, yes, there was the financial investment required. There was a massive time investment required, but you know, the outcome is an asset which we've built, essentially. And well, a key theme I talk about throughout the book is entrepreneurs or founders should focus on building assets, not being the asset themselves, right? So you want to build an asset that's scalable and repeatable, and essentially the one thing that eliminates a thousand things in the future. And that's ideally what I've built, hopefully.
It's really interesting, though, because you're talking about building a marketing brand for your firm. You've just gone through a little bit of a rebrand. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so for those that know us, we were known as Smartbooks Online. And when we first started the business, it was literally just a bookkeeping business. And so being two non-creative accountants, we needed to come up with a name. We thought smart people would use bookkeepers, right?
Very, no empathy in that, is there? It's you thinking how you want to project yourself on the world.
It was a very literal name, and forget the online bit. So we're an online business. So as we've grown, and the assertion at the beginning was that founders will value bookkeeping. The reality is a lot don't, right? And so we're dealing with a commoditized kind of business, and we're very cheap. And so the name was intentionally literal. Over the 18-month period from when we started, we realized we had to do a complete reverse of that. Of the business, original business plan, because it wasn't a long-term business for us. You know, I could talk about automation and all that sort of stuff, but bookkeeping is a race to the bottom if you're not doing something differently, and so we pivoted our strategy. And now part of that process is when we're delivering, I guess, more high-value services, where you call that advisory or financial management, people are like, well, wait, you're helping me build a three-way budget, but what, you're a bookkeeper. How does that, like... So there's a mismatch in terms of the people that didn't know us personally as a business and the people that we employ.
Well, if you don't know what a three-way budget is, you're not ready to do advisory. I'll put that, because a lot of accountants don't, which when I started banking, when I went to business banking, they were talking about three ways, and I thought, wow, this is an interesting culture you got here, because I didn't know what it was.
The amount of times I've seen P&L budgets being generated, it's actually really scary.
And clients are defensive of their P&L budgets because they say, oh no, I've got it, I've done it.
And then until you show them the key difference, particularly for retail e-commerce businesses, for a large portion of our client base, it's like, no, you shouldn't be expensing your purchases. They quickly realise, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's why we'll have a lumpy...
That's where all my cash is, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. So... the rebrand was part of trying to fit to more match what our services are. You know, all the big four firms have initials, BDO, KPMG, whatever. So we just added an SBO to the mix of that, which matches the worldview of our target market. So.
Excellent. How do you get access to the book? Are you distributing it?
So Amazon.com. So if you just search...
No, it's a .com. I never heard of it. Thanks.
World's biggest bookseller, if you've come across it. Well, everything, really. Search Stark Naked Numbers. Make sure you put the numbers in there because there's a lot of Stark Naked magazines which could lead you down the rabbit hole. Different type of content altogether. But Stark Naked Numbers, you'll find me there. I also have a website, starknakednumbers.com. You also find links to purchase the book. So, yeah.
Bloody awesome. Mate, thanks for coming on the show. Beautiful day in Brisbane today. Actually, I think today is Brisbane's the coldest... capital city on the eastern seaboard. That wouldn't happen too many times. It's 40 degrees everywhere else.
Yeah, it's bloody muggy as well, so yeah.
Mate, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks again for listening to an episode of From the Trenches. David and I love to hear from listeners, so you can reach out if you've got feedback or story ideas. Get in touch. I can be reached on Twitter at @PaulMeissner_ or on LinkedIn, Paul Meissner.
I'm on Twitter @DavidBoyar, B-O-Y-A-R, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.